Had a good week in the Lord. Good to have visitors with us. We trust that they've had a good time so far. Glad the Ronskinas have stopped in with us and being with us. Good to see them. Good to see all these other folks come in with the Bible Club. We had a good time over in the youth zone. We enjoyed spending time with them. Don't forget the retreat. If you've been praying about it, please pray harder. And if you're interested, please put your name on the sign-up sheet over here. And the information is, that goes with that, that's December 28th through January 1st. It's $135 per person. And that includes all meals while we're at the camp. The guest speaker that will be there with us as well. So I hope you're praying about it. If you're available, we'd love to have you travel with us up there to Sevierville and enjoy the time that we'll spend together as a church. The Lord kind of laid on my heart today. The thought is going to be the anchor of our hope. That's what we'll be praying about, and hopefully we get to know more of our anchor. Certainly hope so. We'll be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 tonight. Verse 35. If you have not got your Christmas cards to help the Honduras team, please go by and pick up some of those and make sure to see Brother Hector or Sister Maria. I told Brother Hector I'm going to have to get him one of them spinning boards that y'all see down on the side of the road so he can stand back there and spin it. He said he thought he'd work harder at selling before he started spinning his board. So if you haven't got your Christmas cards, go by and help. It'll be a help to the Honduras team. Help us get there to help Brother Chase. It'll be a blessing to Brother Hector down in Honduras. So if you need Christmas cards, they're back on the back side over here. And that'll be a blessing to the Honduras team. Be careful if you're traveling this weekend. A lot of folks are going to be away, so be careful as you travel. Be safe. Find time to spend with the Lord and enjoy yourself and rest up and come back and be back in your place when you get back into town. Good to see the Rooks tonight. Brother Rooks was in the hospital, got out. So y'all pray for him. They probably have to put him on a heart transplant program, see if he can get a heart transplant. It's gotten worse. So y'all pray for Brother Rooks as you have opportunity, certainly, and all the other ones on our prayer list as well. Well, we've been studying the apostles, and we started out learning what a disciple was, and what you know, a disciple is a learner. So it's a good place to start, learning about what a disciple is, a learner. And I hope that we're all learners. And then we look at an apostle. An apostle, of course, was a sent one, chosen by God, and there were some qualifications, of course, they had to be met in order to be an apostle. And then last week we looked at Andrew. Now Andrew's ministry of bringing people to Christ was pretty unique to me. I really enjoyed looking at Andrew. Now Andrew kind of stayed in the background, as you know, but his brother, Peter, who we're going to start looking at tonight. Now Peter was kind of in the forefront of a lot of stuff. So we're going to look at, I think, Peter twice this week and then again next week. I don't think we're going to finish looking at the life of Peter in one night. But Peter kind of was an impulsive type character. He was kind of out in the front. I mean, he was in the forefront of everything and, kind of made the tops of the list. If you look sometimes throughout Scripture when the Bible is actually naming them, it starts out there, Peter. Brother Jim mentioned something in our Sunday school classroom the other day that kind of just stuck out when I was looking through this, was that, you know, somebody said James the Less. Well, then maybe Peter being listed first was considered the first. I'm not sure about first to last, but it kind of just said, you know, when you look at Peter being listed first, and though he certainly was a great apostle. He really was, as we look at his life tonight. So let's look there in John chapter 1, verse 35, and we'll get started. John chapter 1 and verse number 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Caiaphas, which is by interpretation a stone. Caiaphas, a stone. So let's look a little bit, try to see about Peter tonight, and get a little background of Peter and Andrew's father's name, Jonah, as we read there. Also spelled sometimes Jonas, as it's written over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. A little bit different spelling. Of course, verse 44 lets us know that they were from Bethsaida. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So we know that they grew up in and around the area of Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a town north side of the Sea of Galilee near a city of Capernaum. Now later on, Peter somehow or another made a movement. He moved down to Capernaum. If you would, look over in Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. And verse number 21, Mark chapter 1 and verse number 21. You'll notice the Bible says here, And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now look down at verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into whose house? The house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. There. So sometime or another he moved down there. Of course, if you look at the next verse, verse 30, and Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they tell him of her. So at some point in time he moved from Bethsaida down to Capernaum down there. It probably had to deal with maybe when he got married. Maybe that was his wife's place where she grew up. I'm not sure about all that. Just know that there was at some point he moved to Capernaum, and he lived there. Now, he was a fisherman by trade. Many people around Galilee were fishermen. But Peter was fishing, actually, when Christ called him. If you look over in Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 3, Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 3, the Bible says there in Luke 5, 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that him that he would thrust out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So in that passage, as we get down there reading just a little bit longer, I'll spend a little bit more time in chapter 5 of the book of Luke, verses 1 through 11. But I want you to notice that Peter himself, he was a fisherman, and he was busy fishing. And John records that Peter and several other disciples actually, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, went back to fishing. Over in John, I believe, chapter 21, you can read that there. After the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, they went back to fishing. Peter said, I go fishing. He just went back to what he knew. And then, you know, sometimes that's what we do if we're not careful. That's why the Bible tells us and teaches us and encourages us that we are to renew our mind. Because if we're not careful, when the slumps of life comes and the famine of spirituality, of spiritual growth enters into our path, and the appetites of the flesh run strong in those days, we'll return back. Like the Bible says, dog returns to his vomit. So we have to always renew the mind, always learning new things. Old things are passed away and all things become new. It's a process of continual growth. One of the scary times in your life as a Christian, dear friend, is if you check up on yourself and you haven't grown in the last 3, 4, 5 months. We hit those seasons. Just be honest with you. We hit some seasons, dear friend, that the growth is not exterior either. Sometimes it's inside. It's deep spiritual growth that nobody else can recognize but you. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to help you to recognize those times. When seeds are planted in the ground, we don't see the growth, but there's growth going on. It's down there buried. It's underground. We cover it up, fertilize it. We water before it ever pops out of the ground. That dead seed begins to take life. So there are seasons. But for a Christian, when you look, and there is just seemingly no growth in your life, those should wake you up, because trouble's coming. The devil will sift you. You'll begin to rely on a false sense of security. You'll be relying upon the flesh. And you'll start relying and have confidence upon yourself. And when you start having confidence in yourself, dear friend, you are looking for a hard fall. You really are. So, there's times of growth. And so, Peter, it was difficult, to be honest with you. The Lord had been crucified. He went back to what he knew. What he was founded in. The Lord had to come get him. A kind of a picture of the Lord leaving the 99 and going after the one. Now, of course, when Peter was there, and this is another picture, Peter wasn't alone in his backslidden state. You understand something different? I've been there. When you get backslidden, you're not alone. You take folks with you, or you go to where other folks are backslidden. If you're trying to stray away from God, you really are not looking for help, and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life, you don't get around spiritual folks. It brings conviction. And I'm telling you, that's the best place you can run. Somebody that's trying to love the Lord and serve the Lord with all they got within them. Tonight, we looked at something over in the youth club about accountability. And sometimes with accountability, we want to find somebody that's having the same struggles as we are to be our accountability partner. And then you find at the end, those that are our accountability partners, if they are not careful, they're harder on others than they're harder on themselves. Being in the same boat that's sinking with them. So you got to be careful about this here thing of running back. It's good to have some testimonials, some good to have some memorials, some things to look back upon, dear friend. But whenever you find yourself straying back into that old man, time to put the brakes on. Say, Lord, I am going the wrong direction. Going the wrong direction. I saw something the other day that really seemed profound to me. Progression is this: if you find yourself on the wrong road, you turn around and get on the right road. So if you find yourself going the wrong direction, dear friend, the best thing to do is turn around. That's just a simple way of saying repent. Turn around, get going back the other way. Peter was not a very educated man in the term of what some folks may seem to think he was educated in. What I mean in books and things of that nature. If you would go to Acts chapter number four. Now I believe Peter followed. He was a Jew. I believe he followed the Jewish law to the best of his ability, dear friend. But he was not educated as a scribe or a Pharisee or a Sadducee might have been. For sure. And in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 13, the Bible says this: And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, verse 13, Acts 4:13, and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So he was educated, you know, in fishing and things of that nature. But when it came to that of the theological side, you might say, or that of studying the scriptures in depth, and that they looked at him as unlearned and ignorant in that. And so let's spend just a little bit of time just bypassing that a little bit and running against it. Now, he was educated. He was trained by Jesus himself. Sometimes you learn more hanging around those than you do sitting in a seat writing down notes. So sometimes you just got to be alone and you got to spend time with folks. And, you know, we've done away kind of thing in America. We don't do apprenticeships anymore. I think we'd get good if we got back to doing that. It might help us along, help our young men learn a trade and, you know, get them off of those PlayStations a little bit and get them put some calluses on their hand, you know, and get them to work so that they, when they become men, they can provide for families and such as that. But he was trained. And he was qualified in the sight of God because God had called him. So we've got to get to the point. Listen, hours that you spend with the Lord are very more much crucial than any educational degree or qualification that you can find out there. But you need to educate yourself. Don't take that as pastor saying, well, you just need to stay ignorant. What I'm saying is, don't rely upon your doctorate degree, your bachelor's degree, your associate's degree, your master's degree to get you through life. And I don't care what degree it's in, you need God in everything that you do. Everything. Don't look to that as, I've arrived at something. I believe that God looks first at that one which is surrendered and with a humbled attitude with whatever level of education they might have, and he desires to use them. Now, God's not against you being educated, for sure. He says to us very firmly in the Word of study, show yourself free. You got to get into the Word of God. But don't just think for a minute that you that if you have that formal type, that's all you need. You need that plus God. And don't think if you don't have formal education that you don't need to be reading and studying. You need to study. So don't go off thinking that I don't think you need to study. But I believe Christ recognized Peter's future willingness to serve. Future, and I think as we get in here and study this, we're gonna see that real clear, like real fast. Like for instance, when he called him Caiaphas. Caiaphas is the Aramaic word for rock, of course he was called Peter. Peter comes from what? The Greek word Petros, which means rock. I'm going to tell you this, to be honest, those that knew Peter, what when you think of a rock, what do you think about? A big rock. Something stable. Something, you know, strong. Something that's fixed. Not something impulsive. Not something... I guarantee you, whenever Andrew, think about Andrew. Andrew knew Peter inside and out. They were brothers. I mean, they knew it. And so... Wow, he changed his name to solid, to stable, to dependable, to fixed. That ain't the Peter I know. See, the Lord knows way beyond our thoughts and our imagination, our mind. And that's why you get the name Simon Peter. Simon the rock, Simon the one that would become dependable, you know. And Jesus knew the change that would occur in Peter's life down the road. So you know, as we see that and we look at that, we understand that, you know, God's ways are beyond finding out. He calls men that we could never understand. Well, you know, and why would he use him, or what does he called him for? I don't know. I wouldn't have called a publican, but he chose to call one. I don't know that I'd have called a fisherman, but he chose to call one. I don't know that I'd have chose to call a military guy, but he chose to call me, who was a military person. I don't understand God's ways, but God sees further down the road than we can ever imagine. All He's asking us to be humble, available, and allow Him to bring stability and dependability into our lives. As we see that. And so I can imagine as his name was changed, that, man, Andrew just like turned. Okay, Lord. You say so. Kind of like some of y'all when I choose somebody to be a Sunday school teacher. I know some of you look. That one? Boy, what? I'm much more spiritual. Be careful. Sometimes that pride just sneaks in there real slick like. Well, anyway, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, as we look real quick. I'm trying to put a lot of information out here, but we're going to look at it twice. His call to be a disciple. Look at verse 1, chapter 5 of the book of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land and sit down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought." Now this is probably kind of funny to a fisherman. What do you know about fishing? Because the next word says, Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. The winds weren't right, the moon wasn't right in the place, the fish didn't hold their mouth open right, Lord, nothing." But he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, when you see God for who He is, dear friend, you will clearly see you as you are. And if you don't find yourself undone, I don't care what level of spirituality you think you are, you don't find yourself undone. You don't find yourself standing in need. You don't find yourself as one that is falling short of the glory of God, dear friend. You have a problem with pride. When we begin to see God truly as holy as He is, we will see how sinful and dreadful we stand. And yet, He will bring the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God will bring to the forefront of His love for such an unworthy person. What amazement when we see God for who He is. Peter said, "Whoa, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were with him, and the drought of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James, John's son Zebedee's, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Isn't it amazing how God here, Jesus used something that was very practical, something that Peter understood to call him? He used the fishing term. "Peter, no more you're going to catch fish. You're going to catch men." Isn't it amazing how God gets down where we are as individuals? I don't know if you didn't catch that or not, but I'm going to tell you something. You are important to God. You're just, listen, you are here as assembled together as part of Lock Haven Baptist Church. Yes, as a whole, we make up the church, Lock Haven Baptist Church. But you as an individual, You don't go unnoticed. God knows. And He talks to you and speaks to you just like you are. On a level that you can understand. He doesn't speak way up here so that you can, that you just like, well, I wonder what God meant by that. Oh no. Peter clearly understood. And the very next verse, he laid down all that and forsook all and followed Jesus. The call there, Peter's personal witness there of the two miracles. Not only that, he also saw his mother-in-law who was healed. You know, we looked at that a while ago a little bit. Peter saw that, and you know, as he was called there, he just laid it down and said, Lord, here am I. Peter, as well as James and John, had interacted with Jesus for a little bit of times during this travel as they got down to here. And then he probably saw some other things that Jesus did alone. But when it touched his life, when it became personal, you know, they said, Peter, Jesus, Master, we told all night. But okay, at your word. It became personal. It astonished Peter. Sometimes, you know, we look at, wow, man, that's amazing. Brother Ray's got a gentle attitude. And look how God has worked in Brother. We're amazed at what God's doing in Brother Ray. We look at Brother Jim. Look how faithful Brother Jim is. And say, man, Brother, God has done so much, Brother Jim. And it's not personal. Dear friend, when you allow your relationship to God to be personal, it will change how you act. It will change the things you do. You will do it because it's for you and God. Not because, man, I want to do this just to please Brother Jim. I want to do this. It's a good thing to please one another. But all pleasing each other is going to only get us about a week's work down the road. That's it. I'm telling you, dear friend, if I did what I do right here as pastor just to please you, I'd have been gone 6 years ago. I'm looking forward to the next 10 years. Because what I'm doing to please God. And when I do something, here's a qualifier. When you do what you can to please God, dear friend, you will not always please all men. It's that simple. It doesn't mean I don't love you. Brother Stacy, I know there's times you probably think, man, why am I wrong with my pastor? Why don't he grow some hair back? It's not against you. And Brother Stacy, there's nothing between me and Brother Stacy. I'm just using an example. Sometimes I'm going to do something. I'm going to make a decision. It's going to cut. Right? Wow, why did he do that? And you're not going to understand it. And you're going to be upset with me. But I'm here to please the Lord. I'm here to love you. And I'll try to help you to understand. But you know, sometimes you may not understand. Because this is the Lord's show. This isn't Pastor Stockton's show. This isn't the deacon's show. This isn't Brother Jim's show. This isn't your Sunday school. It isn't yours. It belongs to God. Amen. He's found you faithful to put you into the work. That's it. So Peter's like, man, Lord, I am amazed. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You get around the holiness of God, you see really, really where you stand. And like him. But as we hurry along, Peter had a conflict within himself with trust and fear. And we see that many times throughout his work. Like Peter misunderstood Christ's kingdom. Peter thought that the Messiah was going to come down and he was going to make a reign. He was going to raise up the kingdom of Israel. He was going to run the tyranny of Rome out. And he had a misunderstanding about this. Not only Peter, many of them did. And you can see that in Matthew chapter 19, 27. But also if you look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Peter still was struggling with this here thought. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. The Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He had a conflict within himself and trusting and Peter was once says, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. And yet he's struggling even after the resurrection. Are you going to come back? Is now, okay, you died, they beat you, you buried, you rose again. Now, boy, we're fixing to have the kingdom of Israel. So he had a conflict there. Peter refused, I guess, to believe Christ's very own words about his death, burial, and resurrection. You remember Jesus told him, says, they're going to come, they're going to take me, I'm going to be killed, over 3 days to rise up again. Oh, no, you won't. The Bible says Peter even took him to shaking. He said, no, you won't. He rebuked the Lord. So he had a problem trusting even the Lord's very own words. So you're not alone. Sometimes you've read the Bible and said, I don't know if I can trust that or not. You're not alone. Great man like Peter, he struggled with it. He even struggled with Christ's identity. The very Peter who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came to wash their feet in the upper room, Peter said, wait a minute, what you doing? Why you want? No, you can't. And Jesus said, yeah, I got to. And then Peter said, okay, if you got to, wash me all, head, body, feet, and everything. What was Jesus trying to teach them there? They had already been fighting amongst themselves who was the greatest. I'm be on the right, I'm be on the left, and back and forth. And Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson. Hey, true greatness requires that you serve others. That's what Jesus was trying to teach him. Peter had a problem with that. He had a problem of keeping his own word. He had a conflict of his own self-trust. What do you mean, preacher? Remember he told Jesus, I'll die with you. They came and took Jesus. He fled that night 3 times. Denied who he was. Denied him. Denied him altogether. He had a problem trusting Christ, the power that Christ had. Whenever they were out there on the ship and they saw it looked like some ghost or spirit or something, they said, oh, look over there. Who is that? Is that the Lord? Lord, is that you? Peter, hey, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. He stepped off into that boat. And when he quit trusting the power of God, he began to sink. And what did Jesus say? What happened to your what? What does it say in the Bible? What does it say there? Let's go quickly. I'm going to hurry along over there. Let's go see what it says. John chapter number 20. Matthew chapter 14, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to hurry along. Got to get through this. A little bit more to go. Got to get the bus rolling back. Get them kids home so they can get to school. So they can go learn. Become doctors and lawyers. Mechanics. Matthew 14. Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him, said unto him, O thou of little faith. O thou of little faith. Have you been there? God's pulled you out, got you working, and you got, you're walking on water, it seems like. Then you take your eyes off the Lord. I began to sing. Oh, you of little faith. Peter had a great conflict within himself, dealing with doubt, dealing with trust, dealing with fear, back and forth. Listen tonight, how's your faith? Do you struggle with doubt? I do sometimes. I'll be honest with you. It's sin. It's just that simple. I get to think, rather than ignoring your own doubts, why don't we explore them with Jesus? Why don't we walk hand in hand with Him? Why don't we go through this life daily, walking with Him, spending time with Him, meditating with Him? I don't understand this. There was 3 disciples. There's 12. He called 12 apostles. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on fixing the clothes, but he called 12. But there was 3. Peter, James, and John. That he'd take aside sometimes. Like 3 or 4 times in the Bible. One time, Mount Transfiguration, he took them aside. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he took them aside, them 3. Let's go a little bit further and pray. One other time. Anyway, that's 3 or 4 times. Anyway, he took them aside. And the Bible never explains why. Jesus never once told us why he took those 3 and took them aside. Let me tell you this. Your personality does not merit your walk with God. Just who you are. Does not, just doesn't gain merit. Wow, Peter, James, John, they must have been the greatest of all these. Let's go. They was the ones all the time fussing. Let me be on the right, Lord. Let me be on the left, Lord. All the time. Lord, no, you're not going to do that. Maybe he knew those three. He just had to pamper a little bit. Get them in gear. I don't know. But you know what I never did notice in the Bible either? The other nine wasn't upset about it. Wasn't upset. Didn't bother them that the Lord said, let's go up on the mountain. Listen, they understood that each one of them was important to Jesus. And each one of you are important to Jesus. He didn't bear the sins of all on this side and all on this side. And back there on the back, he said, well, I'm not taking Scott's sin. No, he can carry his own to hell. He carried the sins of the world upon himself to the cross of Calvary. That's the God we have. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the studies of the apostles. Lord, we understand. We've just gotten into it. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to learn from these men. Simple, hardworking, everyday, ordinary men that you use. As the scripture says, you turn the world upside down.